Hello everyone, I'm Alan Ashton and you're tuned in to Organ First Radio. It's nice to have your company. Last month I flew over to Germany for the four-day organ festival staged by the Okey Organ Magazine, which took place in the town of Herdeck, and what an action and music-packed occasion it proved to be. It was, in essence, like turning back the clock more than 25 years when organ festivals in the UK were supported equally in huge numbers by festival-goers and organ and music world companies. Well, I can't hope to bring you the full flavour of the event, but nevertheless, I'm going to feature a selection of artists who entertained us from early morning through to, well, early morning. The very first evening concert got off to a great start when our very own Brett Wales, one of two English artists invited to perform, got his programme off to a lively and upbeat start. Folsom Prison Blues, played there by Brett Wales. The Okey Festival was a well-planned and organised occasion, and there was a chance to sit in and experience tuition from some of the artists, who in turn gave demonstration shows in the afternoons. One such artist was German player Christoph Klür. Here he is now, playing the theme music from the film Forrest Gump. Thank you. Music from Forrest Gump, the 1994 American comedy film which tells the story of Gump's journey through life, meeting historical figures, influencing popular culture, and experiencing first-hand historic events of the late 20th century while being largely unaware of their significance owing to his somewhat below-average intelligence. It's a wonderful film. The film theme was played there by Christoph Kleur on Versi Spectra. Well, like all UK organ festivals of days gone by, it didn't matter which of the many conference rooms you went into, there'd be somebody demonstrating an instrument or keyboard for the particular company, or people just trying out new instruments, perhaps with an eye to purchase or upgrade. Now, there was one young guy who could always be guaranteed to draw the crowds, and that was 19-year-old Florian Hutter, someone I've wanted to meet ever since I first saw one of his many videos on YouTube. So let's enjoy a samba medley played in the style of Franz Lambert on the Versi Gala TM900. Thank you. a selection of popular sambas which I'm sure need no introduction from me. They played there on the Versigala TM900 organ by 19-year-old Florian Hutter. And if you want to see this young man in action, then just type into YouTube the words Gala TM900 and take your pick of a number of very good examples of a young man completely self-taught from the age of 6 years, having fun with organ playing. Now, always close by when Florian was playing, I recognised a very famous organist who I worked with at a Dutch organ festival quite a number of years ago now. This was Haddy Wolf, and although he wasn't scheduled to play any concerts this time, here he is playing Illusion. Beautiful piece of music titled Illusion and beautifully played there by Haddy Wolfe on Versi organ. It was taken from a CD which he released several years ago. Turning our attention to the concert performances again, it's now the turn of Belgian organist André Brasseur with two numbers. Firstly, a tune which Noel Edmonds used in his DJing days on BBC Radio 1 back in the 70s, that's called Holiday, and it's followed then by perhaps André Brasseur's most famous composition titled Early Bird Satellite. Holiday and Early Bird Satellite, both performed by André Brasseur on Hammond keyboards. Another artist I've been looking forward to seeing was Robert Bartha, playing, of course, the Boehm organ. This is the Bee Gees hit number from Saturday Night Fever, the 1977 film starring John Travolta, and for which the Bee Gees wrote several hit songs. One artist I was to meet for the first time was Bernard Wurzenreiner from Germany. And if ever there was an artist who could, at the drop of a hat, conjure up styles and sounds of many electronic organ world luminaries, it was he. A late night session in the bar found him being joined by our own Anthony Lomas and also the editor of the OK magazine, Klaus Reap, and on three keyboards in the new range being manufactured by Nord, they gave a performance which, well, it was absolutely mind-blowing. As yet, there are no commercial recordings of these new keyboards, but in order to feature Bernard in this month's special OK Festival programme, let's turn back the clock to 1999, when Bernard released a CD on the Technics SXGA3. The tune is titled Sir Duke. Duke, played by Bernard Wurzenreiner on the Technics SXGA3. Someone else who I met for the first time was American organist Jim Vogelman, and if awards for which organ retailer had travelled the furthest distance to be at this prestigious event, the winner would surely be Allen's Music Centre from Great Yarmouth in Norfolk. Their stand was right at the end of my bedroom corridor, so I didn't have far to go to hear Jim Vogelman demonstrating for Allen's the very latest instruments in the Lowry range. And it also meant that I was able to take him back to my room to record the following interview. He began by explaining the thought processes behind the items that he played.
Well, what I do is imagine a setting. And most arrangers do. They imagine the setting that the piece is referencing, or when a show opens, perhaps, you know, the setting after the overture.
So, yeah.
It's that whole scene, you know, where is it? It's like for Oklahoma, for example. Oklahoma opens in a theater correctly when the lead singer starts singing, "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning," from the back of the house. And the whole idea is that he is out in the fields, in the cornfields, of course, all by himself. And he's very happy to be out there by himself. But a cappella, without orchestra, he starts singing this. And you get a sense that he's out in the middle of nowhere. So many times when I start, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, I'm just playing a single note. No chording, no background, nothing at all. Just again, to give that sense that it's something, you know, lonely but joyful to be by themselves. So trying to imagine the settings. And then, of course, too, the instruments today are so very capable.
Yeah, you stressed a number of times yesterday that when you were playing, everything that you were doing was live. There was no packs in there, no. Absolutely nothing.
And absolutely no sequencing either.
Right.
No sequencing, and we don't, at least myself, I don't download sounds from any other source, internet source, any other instruments. Everything that you're hearing is coming from the organ. Now, the benefit of that is that on today, now that the program's over and they're coming, if they have a question to ask me, I can very honestly say, yes, this is where it is, this is where I found it, and this is where you can get it as well.
Right, and this, of course, is this something just that you can only get on Lowry organs?
Well, the interesting thing is, again, all the manufacturers make very, very capable instruments, but for some reason, everyone seems to feel that they need more from someplace else. And the Lowry organ is not inexpensive, so we want to let them know that if they purchase them, of course, you know, that everything that they're hearing is what they will get as well. That you don't need any other software of any kind, that the artist hasn't taken a background style or a background sound of some kind from another instrument in the line. And I know that there's benefits to that professionally. There really is, but Lowry makes instruments for the hobby player, and so that we really don't want them frustrated. We want them to enjoy the organ that they have, and we want them to get to know what they've purchased, what they've actually paid for.
It's strange you should say that, because I, you know, in this day and age, I hear a lot of people saying the organs are becoming a little bit too technical for them to be able to master with downloads and to download something to keep the instrument up to date, for argument's sake.
Yes. No, and we don't do that, actually. When there's technology that's distinctly new, at a certain point, we put that all into a new instrument. We don't do it in bits and pieces and in steps, you know, in half steps. It's done at an appropriate time when all the technology mixes together and actually gives you a brand new instrument. And actually, it's a better thing, because we really, in a sales situation, we want people to know what they have. And then when the new one comes out, we want them to see a distinct difference.
Right.
And usually it evokes then a whole new level of enthusiasm.
And are you connected actually with the development side of Lowry organs?
Yes, I have been. I've done lots of programming, and many introductions and endings and styles are actually me playing and that sort of thing. And I have had the chance to work with the engineers, which is actually very, very nice. So on certain things like balancing and recommendations for groupings of things, you see.
And so, getting away from the organ scene per se, you were telling me a little bit a while ago that you are now the musical director for the famous Ink Spots.
Yes, the world famous Ink Spots, yes.
And they are still going to this day.
Yes, of course, the original ones were a wonderful group, of course, and set that style and harmony. And we do the same style and harmony to this day. It's trademarked. So I actually am proud to say that I'm involved with the original U.S. trademarked group. It started actually in 1933, and there was a lead voice, first of all, by the name of Bill Kenny, famously, and then Jim Nabby. And Jim Nabby incorporated and patented with a U.S. trademark in 1945, because the act was so big and so famous. So to keep its identity and to recognize the value of the true group,
he incorporated in 1945, and that's the group I work with now.
So does that mean nobody could come along and do a tribute band type show?
Well, we discourage that, actually. Yeah. We actually discourage that. And I actually have to say I enforce it, too, really, as best I possibly can. Because anyone can see a tribute, it's nice to see the real thing. Because we talk about the history of the act in the show as well, and how it developed. And the men who are with the Ink Spots right now are actually the second generation. They're older now, of course. They're in their 70s.
Yeah.
But they're the ones who have all been appointed by an original Ink Spot as a replacement.
Getting back to the organ scene again, listening to you playing the Lowry yesterday, I couldn't help but notice a lot of it was in lovely theatrical style. So
yes.
Do you play pipe organ?
Oh, heavens, yes. You know, and they once you become closely associated with the electronics, you know, they sort of pigeonhole you there. But my background and my training is on theater organ. And I do feel that was very good training, because we had to really work at emphasizing, accentuating the music itself. Ultimately, beyond all the electronics, the precision and the quality and the depth of expression of the music is the most important thing.
That was Jim Vogelman talking to me at the O-Key Organ Festival in Germany last month, and one of the items that was a huge hit with the audience was this arrangement of his of Take the A-Train. Thank you. Take the A-Train, played by Jim Vogelman on the Lowry Stardust model. Jim mentioned in that interview being the musical director for the famous vocal group The Inkspots, and in next month's programme, together with some music from Jim's special Christmas music CD, I'll have an exclusive track of him accompanying The Inkspots, so don't miss out on that. And again, Jim Vogelman is one of those artists who can be found on videos on YouTube. Now, if Alan's Music Centre took the prize for travelling the longest distance, the person who would pick up one for playing the longest in a single session, it would be none other than Claudia Hirschfeld, who did a late-night session commencing at 11 o'clock and who finally switched off the organ at 4:30 the next morning, and there were still people who wanted her to carry on till breakfast time playing music such as this. By Claudia Hirschfeld, taken from her CD The Wonder of Music. The Oki Festival is actually produced by Andreas Mountner, who is Claudia's husband, and it's these two people, together with a whole army of technicians, who ensure the festival programme runs like clockwork. This year, I was invited to screen my audiovisual presentation that charts the life and times in music and photos of Klaus Wunderlich. The show was screened three times a day, and so the music of this never-to-be-forgotten organist was there for many of the festival-goers to enjoy. Thank you. memories of the great man himself, Klaus von der Lisch, playing the Tarantella from the Alpensuite by Ernst Fischer on Hammond organ. One of the highlights of the festival was undoubtedly the appearance of the legendary Hector Oliveira, playing, as always, the Roland Atelier series of organs. I'm fast running out of superlatives to describe the sheer musical artistry of this dynamic artist, and once again I witnessed an amazing performance that ranged from his famous Flight of the Bumblebee pedal solo to the premier performance of a 20-minute adaptation of the music from Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov, played, as Hector made it absolutely clear, without any MIDI files or sequencing. Now, although I don't have a recorded excerpt from that item, I do have a copy of his very latest CD titled Music of the Virtuosi, a total of 15 tracks featuring music by Bach, Handel, Vidor, Jeremiah Clarke, Liszt and Elgar. And it's the lovely Salute d'Amour that we hear Hector perform now on the Rogers Classical Organ. Salut d'Amour, perhaps better known as Love's Greeting, composed by Edward Elgar and written for piano and violin in the summer of 1888 as a musical pledge of love to one Caroline Alice Roberts, one of his pupils, who a year later became Mrs. Edward Elgar. It was performed there by Hector Oliveira and taken from his very latest CD. The other British artist who was invited to play at this year's event was Anthony Lomas, making one of his very rare concert appearances these days. More's the pity. He's yet to get around to making a recording on the amazing Boehm Emporio model, which he owns, but from an early release which he made on the Boehm Diamant 400CT model, this is Hot Toddy. Anthony Lomas bringing this special edition of Organ First Radio to a close this month. I do hope you've enjoyed sharing with me just a few of the artists and music that formed part of the OKEY 2009 Organ Festival in Germany last month. From start to finish, the festival was a huge success. Concerts presented in a professional manner, in comfortable surroundings, a great hotel, good food, a chance to meet and make friends, and certainly an event that comes with my 100% recommendation. So, with thanks to Andreas Mautner, Claudia Hirschfeld, their son Felix, OKEY magazine editor Klaus Reap, and all of the production team, this is Alan Ashton inviting you to join me next month for our usual roundup of festive musical fare. Bye for now.